All right, good evening, everyone. Thank you. Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Lee. My pleasure. Thank you. All right, so, yes, this evening we are supposed to quickly go into some very critical matters. You know, I've been praying, trusting God for the insights with which we can, you know, address a few things by His help. Just insight from God. I'm glad you can hear me. Oh, thank you, Mr. Peter from South Africa. Thank you. So, particularly, we're in a very crucial season, a very serious season. And one of the most important things for us to note is to check if what we are doing is in line with God, except if it is what God would really want us to do. If what we are doing right now is the wisest thing to do as a body of Christ, then what next? What's the way forward for us as a body? How can we think ahead, you know, of the situation, foresight? What is the Spirit of God bringing to our heart? Should something like this repeat itself, which will definitely happen according to scriptures? What is the next thing that we can do? How should we be positioned? All right, either as a ministry or as a member of Christ, as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel, how can I be better positioned? What are the things we are to do? All right, so the burden started in my heart when I saw. Before I state what I saw, I want to first talk about the power of boldness in the body of Christ. The power of boldness. Boldness. You know, the reason why I want to talk about that is that the most effective weapon of attack against individuals in the body of Christ, the most important weapon of attack against ministries by the devil, is the instrument of intimidation. All right? One of the most strategic things that the devil particularly wants to use against members of the body of Christ is the instrument of intimidation. All right? So the whole, you know, idea of what we'll be discussing today is how that as members of the body of Christ, we will learn to stand our ground. Are you following what I'm saying? That after this voice note, or after this, how will I call it now, the talk with us, you will go back being more confident. That is, irrespective of what you are doing in the body of Christ, as long as you are aware that the Lord has commissioned you to do this, as long as you are aware that the Lord has strengthened you to do this, as long as you are aware that the Lord has called you to do this, no one, all right, can intimidate you out of what God has called you to do. Last year, there was a very serious rancor, all right, on social media. There was a very serious one on social media, particularly against the ministers of God in Nigeria. It's been happening for a while, all right. But last year, it was a major one, particularly against some of our mothers in the body of Christ. And yes, I've heard people say things like, we don't have fathers in the body of Christ. No one is mother in the body of Christ. We have to think and think straight, all right. You have to think again. You have, before you say certain things that can be injurious to the body, you have to think again. And the reason is very, very simple. Alright, the reason is because the body of Christ is an established system as a family. Alright, the body of Christ is an established system as a family. And for anyone to be saved, there are those who have gone far ahead. Alright, the Bible refers to them as men who have gone through faith and patience who have obtained the promise. They are men who, on the basis of their walk with God and their experience in the walk of life and ministry, they have earned certain position. They are men of God. Men, the Bible says that let the elders that rule well, let them be counted worthy of double honor. So these are elders that rule well. So in the body of Christ, we have elders, and then we have those who are just coming up. All right, let this be very clear. Now, last year there was so much, you know, guns of attack, you know, particularly against elders in the body of Christ and saying different things, fathers. And one of the things I notice and I perceive that the enemy wants to do with that is to intimidate the upcoming generation and to tell them that if you will not back down on the things you hold dear as conviction, the same thing you see happening to these older ministers are the same things that will happen to you. And when that begins to happen, you are likely going to see young ministers and ministries start tailor-making their messages, all right, in such a way that it will be void of what they refer to as criticism or void of attacks from the pit of hell or what have you. All right, so we have tendency of having people who begin to reduce the solidness with which they stand on an established truth that God has given to them just so that they can play to the gallery. When this begins to happen, it's a very clear sign, all right, that intimidation has sent cold shiver, all right, into our spines. Let that be very clear. Whatsoever it is that the Lord has called you to do, you are to stand boldly, standing with it, standing boldly with it as one that the Lord has called. I was addressing a few of my people recently about what the devil has done, particularly against the prophetic ministry. How that the idea of building user-friendly ministries is not aiding, is not really empowering the ministry of the prophetic office in the body of Christ. Such that we are now having men who will say things like, we will pray, all right, along with you in whatsoever situation you are trusting God for. But the position you take is the position we also will take, which is a very clear sign that there are men who are no longer standing on the integrity of God's word. That God is saying this and we are here, irrespective of what shakes or what moves around. But the moment we know that this is what God is saying, this is where we are by revelation. All right, these are all product of intimidations that the enemy is actually trying to send into the body of Christ. If you are listening to me, you have to say emphatically, I stand on the established word of God, and I'm not going to be intimidated by any force, all right, any rule, any regulation, or anyone. I stand on the integrity of what God has said to do. Are you following what I'm saying now? All right, the moment this is settled, all right, now we can go to the next thing. So I had to lay that foundation of intimidation, which has, you know, silenced many people whose voices could have been voices of peace in the times of turmoil. All right, this, which is very, very important. Now, the question we need to really ask is this. Now, like I was saying when I started, I made several observations. You know, COVID-19 starting, we having to take more advantage of the media. Is it a bad thing to take advantage of the media? Definitely not. The media is a very, very powerful tool for us to use for the propagation of God's kingdom. Glory to God. All right, it is not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, anywhere we neglect as members of the body of Christ, anywhere light lives, darkness automatically takes over. All right, so we have darkness in an area because light has vacated the area. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, so the Bible says that in him was light, and the light was the life of the world. All right, in him was life, and life was the light of the world. So, and that light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot, all right, overturn that light. So, darkness necessarily is a function of vacation of light. So, media is a very powerful tool. But I want to bring this up from the standpoint of, we put media side by side with the core work of discipleship that the Lord has sent us to do. Alright, so what do we really major on in this season? Should we all keep trying to, you know, everyone just trying to module ourselves up on media and then all those things? What should we do? How should we place it side by side? Discipleship first or media first? And these are the things I want us to look into. So recently, like I was saying, I took a random survey, you know, of ministries on social media and then tried to look at the things that were happening, and you know, it kind of caught my attention when I saw ministers and ministries going hard way, right? Very serious work. Ministers are working tirelessly behind closed doors, all right, to make videos available for Sunday service. And sometimes you get to see 12 views and 14 views. I'm not saying that is a crime. Please pay attention. What I'm saying is, there are certain ministries that we refer to as indigenous ministries. All right, ministries that were started indigenously. All right, and there are some also that were not indigenous ministries but were brought into the country but have stood the test of time over the years. To mention but a few, I would have loved to cite examples of ministries like Christ Apostolic Church. All right, ministries like Baptist Church. All right, Anglican. Of which most times you do not really get to see ministries like this strongly on the media. But one thing I have come to learn from my own observation is that there seems to be a wisdom behind the thriving ability of ministries like this in a city. There seems to be something they know, all right, that we are not really aware of. And that is what I want us to look into. Recently, I went for a program. All right, I went for a program, a burial meeting, all right, and then I saw ministers, all right, from Baptist, permit me to mention name, all right, from Baptist came, all right, to that burial meeting. I noticed something, and I called one of my pastors that was with me. I said, come watch. I noticed their dress sense. It was so, right, so interesting. They made sure they were dressed as one that could be addressed as ministers. I watched the way their shoes were polished. I saw the way they're talking, and particularly the collar on their neck, the way they adjusted everything exactly for the occasion as men of honor who represent Christ. And I said to that, my pastor standing beside me, I said, you see, these are the things that these older ministries understand that the younger ones do not understand. They understand protocol. They understand ethics. They understand structure. All right. They understand what should be done and what should not be done. These people are men who are well trained in terms of the ethics of ministry. All right. And this is the reason why sometimes, even when young ministers stand up and say, these guys, these people are not too sophisticated, but they are sophisticated in a brand. They are sophisticated in a revelation. All right. They are sophisticated in discipleship, a very firm foundation that empowers them to thrive across all seasons. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right. And one of the things I discovered is that it takes a lot to produce, to train a minister in those days than it takes to train a minister now. Now there seems to be a shift in the sense that the moment a man has one or two encounters, and then the people attend likely going to launch out on the account of those things, all right, and then begin also to propagate ministry, which is not a crime. But the crime is the attempt of a man seeking to be number one when he has not mastered the art of being number two, serving under an existing body, where the man will be trained and taught, all right, to understand the ground and the basics of doing things. These are very, very important foundations. So I noticed that ministries like that, that have been indigenous ministries over the years, one of the solid foundations they have, all right, that is helping them to thrive, media or not, no media now, is the foundation of cell ministries. All right, like, you know, what we have in Acts of Apostles, chapter number 6, when Peter said, it is not the reason for us to leave the word of God and serve at tables. From henceforth, we'll give ourselves now to the ministry of the word and prayer. All right, I noticed that these are the foundation of solid ministries that have stayed over the years. We'll give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. We'll give ourselves to the ministry of the word and prayer. Now, one of the side effects of the media ministry we are actually holding, which is fantastic, all right, get me straight, fantastic, but the idea is this: we are not to take one and leave the other unattended to. Now, for some of us who have been so active and powerful on media, you will agree with me that there are people in villages, all right, who are at the mercy of existing structures. Those who have no access to Instagram, who have no access to Facebook, who have no access to Twitter, who have no access to YouTube, right, who actually are at the mercy of existing structures, the structures that have been laid over the years, right, these are the structures that they have to depend on now to thrive in a season where it seems the access to be fed by God's word has to do with you having some little bit of data, you know, on your phone. Now, structures that have been built over the years are the structures now that are proving more formidable to take care of these people at cell units. Alright, so I saw that we are going to be making a very serious mistake if we, in the attempt to reach out to everyone, focus so much on media, alright, and then we leave the people unattended to in terms of thorough and real proper level of discipleship. Alright, proper and real level of discipleship. I am a product of very strong discipleship. I attended a church where my pastor would separate people, we call it 14 and 17 fundamentals, separate teenagers that the pastor himself will handle for a whole year. They will teach them and then teach us how to study the word of God, lines upon lines, precept upon precept. We were taught and raised to be students of God's word, which are things that are gradually getting missing in the body of Christ today. Now, if we think ahead, is it possible for us to have a time in the body of Christ, or for us to have a time in this, our world, that the media will now be censored? For instance, we have censorship going on DSTV. All right? We have censorship also going on some platforms like Netflix, all right, where you see them bleeping out God and then bleeping out the name of Jesus. All right? Is it possible that a time is coming, all right, also on media, both YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, that the word God will be counted as what is offensive, such that they will begin to bleep out those names? I am so excited, all right, about the structure, the way we are mentioning the idea of discipleship. Fantastic. But if we are going to think ahead in the next 10, 20, 40, 50 years, is it possible for us to have a time in the body of Christ where the name of Jesus will be blipped out on social media? That is, if you mention the name of Jesus the same way I'm talking to you, there is an automatic system that mutes that Jesus. If we have seen that it has happened with some platform before, then we can therefore conclude, all right, that if the media becomes what we depend upon solidly alone, a time is coming that the media itself will now be hijacked such that it will be counted as offensive for us, all right, to emphatically, all right, just mention the name of Jesus and then do things that has to do with God. These are very important foresight we need to have as members of the body of Christ. So what should we do, all right, in terms of preparation for a season like that? We are not to just focus on these things and leave grassroots discipleship. All right, grassroots discipleship. One of the things I've noticed is that in a season like this, COVID-19 pandemic issue has revealed those who are building rightly and those who are not. Now, listen. The fact that you have the capacity financially or in terms of gadget to stay on media in a season like this is not a proof that you are still building well. Get that straight. Because sometimes you are now ministering to the crowd at large, but the primary people that God has given to you may be left untouched. So this is a call back of our attention. While people are trying to, you know, everybody's trying to hijack media, let's do all those things, we are to go back to the original precept of the apostles and prophets. All right, the same thing that was earnestly delivered unto us. Now look at what Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew chapter number 28. Very important scripture that I think is going to be very needful in a season like this. Matthew chapter number 28. Let's look at what Jesus said in verse 19. Alright, look at it. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you even to the ends of the world." Now, this is the word of Jesus. He says, you go therefore to all nations of the world, alright? And then you are to go forth and go and make what? Disciples. Go forth and make disciples. Now, look at what the Bible said. Look up Acts of Apostles, chapter number 1, verse 8. Act of Apostles, chapter number 1, verse 8. "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost have come upon you, and you shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth." Alright, so, listen, the issue is this. When the power of the Holy Ghost, don't forget what Jesus said, "Go ye therefore, make disciples," alright, "of all nations." Go ye therefore. What it means to make a disciple and what it means to have a church member are two different things. Alright, members comes by invitation. Disciples are made through making. Alright, members comes by invitation, and they don't have to stay. As a matter of fact, if you have to do comedy in church, you have to do comedy, you have to do gala night, you have to do suya night, you have to do film show, and all those things. These things are done not for disciples, they are done for members. Disciples don't need comedy show to stay. Disciples don't need film show to come to church. Disciples don't need praise concert to be more active. Disciples have been taught and trained thoroughly, practically, on ground to be more active. You will believe with me that a man who is pastoring 10 people on his own outside, all right, on site, 10 people on site, is a more experienced pastor than a pastor who only pastored 10,000 people on Facebook. All right, a man who pastors 10 people on site, 10 people, physical people, families, he can see them on site, is a more experienced person than the one who pastors 10,000 on Facebook. All right, meaning that there is a lot difference between practicals, all right, and then the theoretical ones we are having here. The concern is this: I believe the storm will soon be over, but we are to go back to enforcing and strengthening the power of our cell meetings. All right, we are to go back and strengthen the power of those meetings where two or three are gathered. Where God says, "Where they come together, I recognize such gathering, and I will be there." So meetings like this are to be strengthened, all right, because of the days that people will not be able to move to church. But they have been taught, all right, probably we have a family who live in a compound, you know, those compound system, all right, where they can come together, and effectively we can have, you know, cell leaders who can, at the level of those people, pastor them effectively, and they give accounts to the church. So we are not just to Zoom and then focus on media, whereby we are leaving people who are to be trained thoroughly at the mercy of, you know, having subscription to come on media and see what is happening. So these are very important subject of discussion, all right, in the body of Christ. Very important issue here. Are you following what I'm saying here? Very, very important issue. All right, so another issue I want to bring up in a time like this is, what would Jesus have done in a season like this? I believe this must have been questions that would have crossed the minds of many people. What will Jesus have done in a season like this? Let me first lay this straight. All right, Jesus only spoke ahead about a season like this. For instance, he spoke about a season like this in Matthew chapter number 24. All right, he spoke about the things that will be signs of the ends of age. He spoke about things that will be signs of the end of age. He spoke extensively about season like this, but to prepare us for such a season like this, we were equipped with the Holy Ghost. Alright, so we have been prepared ahead, equipped with the Holy Ghost for a season like this. But the question is this: what if Jesus was around in our season? What would he have done? Alright, very well laid out in the Bible. Jesus said, "My Father walketh it out to I walk, and I do what I see my Father do." So we saw across scriptures how that Jesus was a man. Alright, he is not late. He is a man who would always go, alright, to inquire of the Father what the Father will want done. Are you following what I'm saying here? What the Father will want done, and then act out those things accordingly. When the mother of Jesus was telling her at the marriage, supper of Canaan of Galilee, that, you know, the wine has finished, Jesus said, "What have I to do with you? For my time has not yet come." But the woman understood, all right, how to induce timing. I'm not going to go there today. All right, she understood that obedience has a way of inducing the miraculous, and which they keyed into, and the miraculous happened. Now, I read something by I'll remember. When you see the invisible, you will do the impossible. I read something from this book by Oral Robot. Very powerful book. You can get the book. When you see the invisible, you will do the impossible. Very powerful book I read about Oral Robot. He said something very significant. Now, he said, in his ministry, God heals all those that he lays his hands to pray for. Meaning that all those that Oral Robot ever laid his hands to pray for in his healing meetings, all of them, 100%, received healing. And the secret was this. All he had to do was to pray it well in his hotel room, pray and pray ahead of the meeting, such that by the time he gets to the meeting, he will identify those that God wants him to pray for. All right, what he now does is that he calls for those people, lay hands on all of them, whether lame, deaf, or dumb. As long as he lays hands on all of them, they all get to receive their healings. Now he focuses on the rest, all right, and said, "These ones have been prayed for by the anointing," and then teach them about faith, how to receive healing through faith, and then minister to them according to their faith, of which 80 to 90% of the rest still get healed. But those he personally administered, pray for, get healed. And what was the secret? Seeing what God is doing and acting in that manner. The problem we are having now is that we have very few men who are paying attention enough to ask and see what the Father is doing in the secret place. One of the questions I repeatedly have to ask myself now is, ask God now, is, "Father, show me what it is that you are doing in a time like this." All right? Show me what it is that you are doing in a season like this. Because our positioning is to be exactly where God is acting. Are you following what I'm saying here? When Jesus met Peter at the beginning of his ministry, Peter was trying to catch fish. There was no fish for him to catch. Jesus met him there and then asked him to launch his net to the right side, of which Peter released the net, and then the Bible said he had a great catch, and the net was actually tearing aside. So fishes were not on the right side. Fishes were where the instructions were. All right, the place where God says to launch, that is where the fish will migrate to. So Jesus did not say launch to the right hand side because fishes were there. Fishes came because Jesus said launch there. So I noticed that there is going to be great results, all right, when we follow after where God is part time. Are you following what I'm saying here? There will always be results where we are, when we identify where God is staying part time. Alright, and we focus our attention where God is staying. We are bound to come back with results. Are you following what I'm saying here? Look at the case of the man at the pool of Bethesda. He's been there for 38 good years. Amazing. Alright, 38 solid years. One man waiting. He said he's been waiting. Every year, an angel will come and stir the river. Alright, and the first to get there will be the one that will be healed. Alright, meaning that one gets healing, others get wet. Are you following what I'm saying? One gets healing, others get wet. For 38 years, he had been getting wet, but yet no healing. Are you following what I'm saying now? For 38 solid years, get wet, no healing. Jesus stood by face to face with him. He said, listen, you don't have to wait for the stem of water. Pick your bed and go. I am the personality of the spirit, and where I am, the waters are being within me. I am the river of living water. Right where I am, there's going to be a stirring up of the waters. You don't have to wait for a physical water to get ill. So Jesus told him, pick your bed and then go home. The man picked his bed. 38 years of infirmity was over. All right, I was asking my people, why were the rest not getting healed? Because the moment Jesus said, go home, none left except the man. They did not know how to key into the miracle. Jesus said, pick your bed, go home. All right, the rest who had been there, some probably has been there for more than 38 years. That man's experience has been there for 38 years. All right, some must have been there for 50 years. It is possible that one has been there for 40 years. All right, possible one has been there for 30 years. But Jesus said, pick your bed and go. All right, the moment the master speaks, where the instruction is, that is where the power is. Are you following what I'm saying here? How that consistently people wait for the move of God, he comes, moves, and yet they are still waiting for him to come because of lack of recognition. So if you ever stay in a place that the Lord is saying, pick your bed and go to your neighbor, you understand that same anointing that speaks for the neighbor. Jesus never mentioned name. He only said, pick your bed and go, meaning that if you can hear me, you can go also. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, it is the same thing, which is the bane of many generations. We are not paying attention to what the Lord is saying per time. So what Jesus would have done in seasons like this is to have keyed into the mind of the Father and understand the standpoint. Number one, why do we have a season like this? Don't forget, a young man came to Jesus who had no eye socket, all right, and then he had nothing on the skull. No, he couldn't see. And they were asking, who had seen, this guy or his friend? But Jesus said, this is done for the glory of God to have been revealed. One of the reasons why I love when men are accurately connected to God is the precision with which they are not bringing conspiracy theory. They are not bringing things they are thinking is the reality. A man who is genuinely connected to God speaks from a depth of precision. This is what we must retrace back in a time like this. When a man is genuinely connected to God, he speaks from depth of precision. Precision is one of the things that is missing. All right, where precision is missing, theories will come in. Where precision is missing, theories will come in. You know, it is so refreshing that in a time like this, we can look at men who are genuinely prophetic and we can hear them talk and say, we know this is exactly what God is saying now. I'm saying now, precision, all right, is a sign of consistency in staying with God. You speak knowing this is exactly what the Father is saying. Peace to a generation. All right, such that they listen and they are sure. Ha, if this person will know of his record of walk with God on the account of the things we have seen, all right, if he's saying the Lord is saying this, we can actually lay hold on it and say, this is what the Lord is saying now. So the reason why there is so much, you know, running up and down here is because people are still trying to know exactly, all right, what it is that the Lord is saying now, exactly what it is that the Lord is saying, which is the first point. All right, let me give you an instance. This should really help someone. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 1, from verse 1, the Bible said, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. All right, but the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord keep hovering over the face of the waters. Genesis 1:3. Then God said, let there be light. Are you following what I'm saying now? Meaning that whenever God wants to bring order to a place, light is towards order. Whenever God wants to bring order to a place, light is God's first step towards order. Now, Jesus had to come and tell us in that Matthew chapter number 5 that ye are the light of the world. Meaning that whenever there is chaos, all right, and pandemonium in places, God's first step to restoring things back to the way it should be is to release some kind of sons. And this is why the Bible said the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Each time there is a chaotic situation, what they are calling for is for sons to reveal their sonship. All right, what situations like this call for is for sons to manifest their sonship. Situations like this do not call for sons to run and cover their head with shame. It calls for sons to manifest their sonship. All right, this is the position we have to take, all right, in a season like this. I believe someone is following me. Glory to God. Don't forget, I started with a very serious issue, which is the issue of intimidation from the pit of hell. Why do we have criticism? Why do we have character assassination? Why do we have ministers of God being tagged with different names? Why do we have all those things? Because the devil wants you intimidated. Are you following what I'm saying? The reason why you do good things, or why you post a fantastic video on YouTube, you notice somebody has gone there and click dislike, you want to ask yourself a question. Is there something I'm doing wrong? You do something very important, someone comes there and criticizes. The reason why that is happening is because the devil wants to sell his strategy of intimidation. Now we need to discuss something very important. How does the devil fight? How does he operate? Which is a very sensitive issue. Alright, I read something I would have loved to show you. I can't possibly lay my hands on the book here. I would have loved to show you. A very fantastic book written by Rick Joyner. Alright, it's called The Final Quest. If you want to get the book, you can get the book Final Quest by Rick Joyner. God opened his eyes. And God opened his eyes and he saw the the army of the kingdom of darkness. He saw how well organized they were and then so on and so forth. But when he looked closely, according to the vision that the Lord showed him, he noticed that those who were frontliners in the army of the kingdom of darkness were actually Christians. Meaning that the devil in every generation fights first with Christians. And he watched closely and discovered that those Christians thought they were fighting on behalf of God. Are you following what I'm saying? He watched the army of darkness that were prepared to fight against the sons of light. He watched them closely and discovered that these are Christians. Alright, but on a closer look, he discovered that these Christians actually thought they are fighting on the side of God. When your zeal is more than your wisdom, you fight on the side of the enemy. Let me say it again. When your zeal is more than your wisdom, you will fight on the side of the enemy. They were joining themselves, their hands together, they were waiting for what is called the evening tide. A season where the water will foam in the evening, all right, and the wave will overswallow them, according to the vision, which is a representation of the move of God. Now, while they joined their hands and they were eagerly waiting for that to happen, something happened. Wind began to blow, which was the wind that will come first, all right, which was the wind that will come first before the water will now overshadow. All right, so when they were waiting, the wind began to blow. The wind itself was not the move of the Spirit. The move of the Spirit involves that the water will cover them, not to their ankle, not to their waist, but it will cover them and swallow them completely. But those who experienced the wind cut out of the waiting zone, all right, they detached their hands and then they left. Now, when those ones left, they began to manifest. They started doing different miracles and then started doing different things. They were manifesting in their own right. But something happened. The others who waited, the water came, the move of the Spirit came at some point and covered them completely. Now, when it covered them completely, they went out with a dimension of wisdom with which they were operating. The wisdom was unusual. They have gotten deeper into deeper dimensions of the operations of God. Those who did not wait for them to be cooked were those that started accusing those ones who waited. They were the ones saying, whatsoever it is you are doing now must be demonic. This is not God. Then God opened my eyes and said this to me. He said, son, each time you see a generation of fellow believers who stand accusing other believers on the account of the dynamics of what God is doing in their life, saying it is demonic, meanwhile they've not done the assignment well to investigate. God saying these are those that do not wait, all right, for the full manifestation of the Spirit before they launch out. Blessed always is that generation that have learned the culture of waiting upon the Lord. So the Lord opened my eyes and showed me this. Now, let me say this to you. The fact that you do not understand a dimension is not a proof that it is not from God. You all right? The scripture is there, mapped out for us to understand. The ways we know dimensions are from God is to check the fruit it bears. The people that are under such dimensions, does it make them rebellion to the word of God? Does it make them, does it make them more obedient to what the word of God is saying? Does it make them hungry for God more? Or does it make them feel they've come to a point where they are satisfied? Does this make them come, all right, and seek God more? Or does this make them feel they are of age and they can relax without God? If the fruit it bears is that it brings more to God, all right, then you have to listen well and watch closely before you judge holy things. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right, God is going to be doing many things in these last days that many may not understand on the account of their lack of understanding of what God is doing. The enemy will strategically use them well against the move of God. They will come out with boldness and begin to talk even on media and on all platforms. They will think they are fighting and operating on the side of God, all right, or on the side of God, but they have really been used by the enemy. All right, you need to get this straight. One of the structures you must set for yourself, is the structure of never saying anything bad against anyone. Very powerful structure, all right. Set that structure for yourself. In my lifetime, as a minister, I will never use the pulpit of God, either privately or publicly, all right, to discredit another minister of God that I do not understand his operation. Now, what is the balance? Can we warn people from things we have confirmed to be genuinely untrue and against the pattern of God? Yes. But what you have to do is this. You cannot banish error with error. So what we have to do is to teach the truth by laying plain what the truth is. It will be clear to the people of God what deviations are. Are you following what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that the truth of God's word can be communicated yet with boldness and also, all right, with wisdom in such a way that will not have to injure the body of Christ to build the same body up. I want to believe somebody is following me here. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me know if you're following. Are you following me? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So, all right, still on the subject of intimidation. All right, still on the subject of... Before I even go to the subject of intimidation, let me... Have you noticed over time in the body of Christ that majority of those who gather to say bad things against ministers of God are always Christians? Check their names, Samuel, Emmanuel, this, that. They're always Christians because they are the ones who think they are there. The things that demons will not dare do. Demons saw Jesus from afar and began to worship and say, have you come to torment us? Our time is not yet. They come. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. It took those who think they are serving God to say, crucify him. Are you following what I'm saying here? Demons saw him from afar. All right. Demons began to persuade and say, hey, not now. It took those who think they are serving God to begin to say words like, crucify him. So the idea is this: the devil wants to pump with zeal but no love. Hey, when that is done, you are in trouble. When you are pumped with zeal but no love, you are in trouble. Let me say it again. When you are pumped with zeal, all right, and no love, you are in trouble. It's a very serious issue, such that the zeal will begin to move you into doing. You'll be doing them and you'll be feeling charged. You know, you can be doing things, feeling charged and yet praying, but yet not knowing you are walking in error. This is the reason why if a man does not have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he's in trouble. Are you following what I'm saying now? All right. If a man with the zeal, with the prayer, with everything doesn't have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, the man is in trouble. Thank you, Evangelist Lawrence. God bless you. Good to have you on board. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Good. All right. So to the zeal, to the passion we have, there is something called love with which we accept, you know, the reality of God's word, knowing fully well that we are more concerned about the kingdom. I tell myself always, if my concern is for the kingdom, and I'm not building my own personal empire, then I have the responsibility, all right, to always check well things. All right, some things may negate my own personal temperament. I can be an introverted person. All right, some things may negate my personal temperament, but my temperament is not the kingdom. My temperament is not the kingdom. My temperament notwithstanding, I have the responsibility of putting my personality aside, all right, to ask questions and check. For what things are the things that are of God? What are the only things that are things of God? My responsibility is to stand where God is. Now, following when the Israelites were moving in the wilderness, all right, with God. The Bible said God led them by day with a pillar of cloud and by night with a pillar of darkness. A pillar of fire, sorry. By day, a pillar of cloud. By night, a pillar of fire. The instruction was this. When you see the pillar move, you move. All right, when you see the pillar stay, you stay there and camp around where God is. Now, in the move of God, we camp where God is. When God moves and you stay, whatever it is you are doing becomes a religion. What is a mystery to a generation is a common sense to another. The idea is this. One of the things that shows that you are a man ready to be consistently used of God is that you will be flexible enough to learn, unlearn, and relearn. If you are truly going to matter in the move of God, you have to be flexible enough per time to learn, to unlearn, and to unlearn. It is possible to be your hands on that lad. Now I know you fear me. Now, right? God said, now I know you fear me. And I swear by my name, in blessing I will bless you, in multiplying I will multiply you. God saw Abraham feared him. And then God said, spare the boy. But if he had run with what God said and was not attentive to know what God is saying, he would have killed Isaac. So many ministers can kill their Isaac. Ministers and ministries can kill their Isaac on the platform of something what God once said, and not paying attention to what God is saying. Are you following what I'm saying? If we are not building our own personal empire, I tell you, ministry has a way of humbling all of us, such that the things that were shocking us when we were coming of age, a time is coming, another generation will come, all right, and they have been exposed to another precept of the reality of God. They may look strange,
But our own duty and responsibility part time is to stay with God and say, God, this is something that is looking new. No man can be an island. This is something that is looking new. What is your take about this in the light of your scripture? All right, and we sit with scripture, comparing scriptures with scriptures, and then paying keen attention to what God is saying part time and knowing where God is. Glory to God. So, lastly, spend 44 minutes. Thank you for joining in. Share the video. All right, share the video. Tag your friends. Share the video with them. Share it. These are very important things that we need in the body of Christ. Lastly, one of the things that intimidation has done against ministers of the gospel in the body of Christ is that it has made us keep quiet on the things we were once loud on. If the thing is not preparing the devil, he will not attack you. The fact that the devil is raising men to criticize the integrity of God's move in your life and your mouth and on your mouth is a proof, all right, that that thing is eating the devil somewhere really hard. Let this be very clear. Are you following what I'm saying? The fact that the devil, see, one of the things I do is that when I get to a new location, one of the ways I will know the man who is the major agent of God against the kingdom of darkness is that I check who is the man that is at the center of criticism of baby Christians, center of criticism of those who are yet to come of age. The man who is at the center of their criticism usually is the man that is really pulling things against the kingdom of darkness. So the devil has a way of instigating fellow believers to bring him down. And sometimes those believers can be pastors. Are you following what I'm saying? These are very important. Before you run with anything out of zeal, wait, check. Is this of love? Is it worthy of good report? All right. Is this of virtue? What is the Lord saying about? Is this concerned with the nature of God? Are you following what I'm saying here? Don't get to a point where on the platform of what you feel, it no longer matters what the nature of God is in the light of your conclusion. What I'm sharing this afternoon is not my own opinion. Somebody asked me, Pastor, what is your opinion about the scripture? My opinion doesn't matter. What matters is what God's word says. Are you following what I'm saying here? All right. So the moment we start having opinions, this is my opinion about this, all right, there's trouble. We have not been called to share opinions. We have been called to know and stand on the integrity of what God's word is. Another thing that, what was it called? Another thing, intimidation is trying to achieve in the body of Christ is that intimidation is trying to push believers into what I call emergency PR. All right? Emergency public relation, emergency announcement. I understand that there are many of us, or probably many ministries, who, you know, there people will come out and they are saying such a thing as pastors are not giving. This is a time for church to give. This is a time, all right, for church to donate and all those things. All right, don't let's come under intimidation to a point that everything we do, which Bible says that the right hand, the left hand should not see what the right hand is doing, will now have to be compulsorily projected online on the platform of their accusations. Right, we should be able to still stand our ground. We should still be able to stand our ground and then stay on what God's word is saying. Stand on our ground regardless of what anyone has to say. And I want to tell you, no matter what it is that the agent of the kingdom of darkness try to do against you, stand your ground. Are you following what I'm saying? Stand your ground. Don't be intimidated. Don't change those methods because you were criticized. Are you following me? Don't change those methods because some Christians came, gathered against you, and then they abused you. Don't change those methods. Stand your ground. In these last days, more than ever, we all need to stand our ground and stand together. Stand it. Are you following what I'm saying now? Regardless, even if they gather and then see all those things, all right, you must, by now, start learning how to build largeness of heart to accommodate insult and criticism. Amen. It is the soil of which a man of faith will flourish. All right, these things are actually lifting systems. Most people don't know. The Bible said if the king, prince of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. No matter what it is, stand, having done all, stand your ground as soldiers of war. Glory to God. You say it. When you see, God is going to be doing many things in these last days. They're going to come out and insult our fathers in the body of Christ, and they're going to do all this. Stand. You are a young minister that God is just flagging up. You are afraid. When I come up, right, and I'm doing this, hope they will not look at me. Stand your ground. Stand firm. We are soldiers. We are not civilians. We are soldiers. We are not civilians. We are not jokers. We have not come to play to the gallery. We are men of war. Glory to God. We are made for such a time like this. Released for a season like this. We are men of war. We are not of them that turn their back in battle. We are not of them that faint in the days of adversity. The Bible says those that faint in those days of adversity, their strength is little. You are starting a ministry. The devil is raising people to criticize you, saying you are not a man of God, saying different things again. Stand your ground. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, Bishop Shane, if you can hear me, quickly come closer. All right, you are doing all those things. The devil is trying to bring intimidations and then all those things. You stand. Having done all, stand. Hold your shield of faith. Understand we're in the battlefront. Stand no matter what. Don't change. Don't compromise your principle of God's word. Don't compromise what you know to be truth. Stand your ground. This is the word of the Lord to the church. Stand fast. No matter what the gate of hell, the Bible says that the gate of hell will not prevail against the church. Glory to God. You see, we are not fighting for victory, we are fighting from victory. There is a reality of something that God has settled in us. Glory to God. There is a reason why God is strategically releasing us in a season like this. And I'm calling to tell you what the mind of God is. Irrespective of the arrows and the attacks of the hatred, everything coming, even from so-called believers, stand! Are you following me? We will not be intimidated out. We will not chicken out. We are not civilians. We are men of war. Glory to God. You see, I see many Christians already becoming shivering and then start agitating. Oh Lord, what will I do? I don't want to be criticized. You are already arranging ministry in a way that nobody will criticize you. That tells you that is not a ministry of Christ. Are you following what I'm saying? You cannot do ministry in a way that no one will talk you down. If truly you represent Jesus, the Bible said you are not greater than your master. If they did these things to your master, then the same thing will be done to you. Stand. Are you following what I'm saying here? Stand your ground. No matter what it is that the host of hell brings against the church, against you, against those who have gone ahead of you, you watch the way they criticize them. Just let those things inspire you that this time is coming. You are going to be among those who will have to go through these things for the sake of the gospel. Instead of those things sending you out, let them rather enforce you and make you stand better. You see, in the days of the apostles, men were killed. They will put them in grandstands. Are you following what I'm saying? And then release lions against women and children. But they stood their ground. And that's why we are actually holding the gospel today. A time is coming that the next generation after us, they will be at the mercy of the way we have been able to stand. Stand your ground. Having done all, stand. Let no devil intimidate you. I'm saying it again. What I'm saying now is a prophetic word. The Lord is sending forth his fire to the heart of men. Let no devil intimidate you. If God is calling you to do something, do it. You were criticized in an environment, go back there and preach the gospel. Glory to God. God punish the devil. You go to a place, you preach the gospel, they criticize you and said you are not a man of God, you are not this. Go back, stand your ground. Stood the way the disciples stood. Defend the gospels the way they defended it. Glory to God. Are you following what I'm saying here? You see, I see the Lord releasing strength. I see men receiving strength again. Men are receiving strength. Strength to go back to the things of God they once neglected. Strength to go back to boldness again. And say, we are the disciples of the Lamb. We are not the one that will chicken out in the days of adversity. We stand on the revelation and the integrity of God's word that we know. We will not give up. Glory to God. Onward, Christian soldiers. We will not give up. You know, there was a song someone wrote some years ago. And I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. All right, I pledge allegiance. I stand, no matter what the devil is bringing, I stand boldly and firmly for the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I believe God has strengthened the heart of somebody. I believe God's word has come to someone, right, that we're going to do more. It is time for more. Right, we're not going to back down. It is time for more. Glory to God. It's time for more. What they have seen with the previous generation is a joke compared to what God will be doing now. It's time for more. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. So I want to believe someone is blessed. All right. Glory to God. Thank you. So glad you joined in. So glad you joined in. Don't forget the emphasis. Listen again and again and again. I talked about the importance of discipleship. Listen again and again and again and again and again. God will strengthen your heart. In a season like this, God will be able to trust you with his people. Are you following what I'm saying? If you are a man who is like, who is quickly to, you know, chicken out of what the enemy, because of what the enemy is saying, God will not trust you with what he wants to do. Men that God has to trust will be men who are rugged. Be simple. You can be touche, but be rugged. Are you following what I'm saying? Be rugged in the light of what God is doing. Alright. So I have to leave now. Thank you for joining in. We've been able to spend 53 minutes sharing God's word. Always a pleasure to bring God's word to you. So excited. Share this broadcast. Listen together with your ministry members. Alright. Share it with your friends. Alright. I believe this is time for us to strengthen each other, particularly to also understand the strategy of the enemy. I commend it to God's grace. It will empower you and strengthen you in the name of Jesus. God bless you. Thank you for joining in. God bless you. If you have any question, you can drop in the comment section. Our pastors will filter them out later. And then probably when next I'm coming to share, or I write in that direction. All right. Thank you. God will keep you and preserve his works in your hands. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.